speak a little bit about the Aseres HaDibros from one specific perspective. The Ramban says the following. He says that the first five commandments, we'll use that term loosely, the first five Dibros, the first five utterances, okay, were on one tablet. And the second five utterances were on the second tablet. And the first five, thank you, the first five speak about the honor of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the second five are speak about how a person has to deal with other people. Now, the first five are basically spiritual things, belief in God, not serving idolatry, not using God's name in vain, keeping the Shabbos, and honoring your parents, which we'll see why that's on the first side. And the second side is not to murder, not to commit adultery, not to steal, not to bear false witness, and not to covet what other people have, all have to do with human beings, how to deal with human beings. And there were five opposite five. Ke'inyan she'eskiru b'sefer yitzira be'eser sfiros b'lima. The world was created. God created 10 spheres, 10 spheros, different midos. And so over here we have 5 and 5. The totality is the 10 spheros which God connects himself to the world. Like 10 fingers, just like the 10 fingers that connect a person to the world also, these are the 10 spheros that connect God to the world. The Ad Kabedus Avichu Keneged Torah Shebichsav, the first five correspond to the written Torah, Umikan Ve'elich Keneged Torah Shebal Peh, and the second five to the oral Torah, which we'll explain all of this in a second. The Nirash Shelezeh Ramzu Rabboseinu, Zichrono Levracha, and this is what the rabbis hinted to when they said, Keneged Shomayim Va'aretz, the two luchos, the two tablets, are correspond to heaven and earth. Keneged Chosin V'Kala, they correspond to Chosin and Kala. Keneged Shnei Shushbinim, and they also correspond to the two Shushbinim that escort the Chosin and Kala down to the Chuppah. And Keneged Shnei Olamim, and opposite or correspond to the two worlds, this world and the next world. And it's all the same thing, says the Ramban, and if you will, be smart, you'll understand it. Okay. And the Ramosha David Vali, who was a student of the Ramchal, adds that it's Keneged, the two tablets are correspond to the hidden world and to the open world, which really means the spiritual world and the physical world. Okay. Now let's make some sense out of all of that. What does it mean? I think the simple meaning is that the first tablet contained the five dibros that speak about between man and God. And the second one has the dibros that have to do between man and man. And therefore, the first one corresponds to the heavens, because we're talking about man and God, and the second to the earth, man and man. So, the perspective or the focus is on the heavens, and the second one, the focus is on the earth. Same thing, it corresponds to this world and the next world. The next world is more or less person's relationship with God, and this world is your relationship with other people in this world and how you create that relationship with God through the physical world. Same thing, the written Torah is completely from God. God dictated the written Torah, and the purpose of the written Torah is to be an edus, a testimony that there's a God in the world with all the miracles and all the laws, and it's dictated from God, and it's there to strengthen our belief in God. Okay? And that is the Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah. The oral Torah, on the other hand, people have a connection to the oral Torah. We are partners in developing it, And the oral Torah brings the Torah into this physical world. It's basically developed by people. It goes from down up, whereas the written Torah came from up down. So the first tablet corresponds to the written Torah, which is more God and us, and the second one corresponds to the oral Torah, which is more people to people also. Okay? And that's why Chasan and Kala. It says, Ish v'isha shchina shruya b'nehem. Man and a woman have God's name between them. The man has the Yud. The Yud is more representative of the world to come. And the woman has the Hay, which is corresponds to this world. It says, Behi Baram, God created this world with a Hay. In fact, this world is like a Hay. Most people end up going down. But there's a little space between the leg and the top that people do tshuva, they can go up. So this world is compared to a Hay, and the next world with a Yud. So one of the tablets is Ish, the Chasan, the world to come, and the other is the Kala, who more or less creates the infrastructure in this world, the home on which to build that world to come. The man is more involved in Torah, whatever, otherworldly things, and the woman is more involved in the this-worldly things. So all of these things basically say the same thing, that the Aseres HaDibros are one unit, but they have two parts to them, and the two parts complement and supplement each other. The first part is more spiritual between man and God. The second part more physical between man and man. That's the bottom line. And therefore, what it's coming to tell me is you couldn't have just one of them. But in order for there to be, for the world to be complete, both have to be there. You have to have the spiritual side between man and God. And however, without the physical side between man and man, it's not complete. Just living in this world, a spiritual life, is only half a life. Because if you don't put the Torah into the physical, mundane, everyday relationships with human beings, not a Torah. That's not the Torah for this world. And if you just have your relationship with human beings and it's not connected to God, then that's distorted also. So therefore, each of these tablets needs the other to supplement it and complement it. And only then is it complete. And that's why the giving of the Torah itself was prefaced with the Parsha of Yisro. And what comes after it is the Parsha of Mishpatim. Why? What did Yisro come to do? Yisro came to say that the way Moshe Rabbeinu was judging the Jewish people, right, which is basically putting the laws of the Torah into practice between man and man, was in a way that was impossible to continue. It wasn't realistic, and it had to be done in a different way in order to be able to be preserved. So the preface to the Ten Commandments is how practically to make these laws livable and to disseminate them in a practical way between man and man. That's what Yisro came to do. And then it's sandwiched on the other side with the Eila HaMishpatim Asher Tosim Lefnehem, a discussion of the Mishpatim, which is basically laws between man and man. So the Ten Commandments, which came from the heavens, from God, has to be sandwiched between its being disseminated between man and man, brought down into this world. And that's why the ultimate continuation of that Ten Commandments is the building of the Mishkan, where God's presence comes into this world. And the Mishkan is the place where the Torah is, from the heavens, the written Torah, and the Sanhedrin, who sit by the Mizbeach and adjudicate laws between man and man. So we have the connection between heaven and earth, between the spiritual life and the physical life. They have to go together. You can't have one without the other. And that is what the Gemara means when it says that when Moshe Rabbeinu went to the heavens, the angels contested the giving of the Torah to human beings, and they asked God to give it to them instead. And God told Moshe Rabbeinu to answer them. And Moshe was afraid, and he had to hold on to God's throne. And what was the answer in the end? The answer was, let's see what it says in the Torah. I'm the God who took you out of Egypt. Was any of you guys in Egypt? No. Okay, so it doesn't apply to you. It says that you should keep the Shabbos. Any of you people work? That you could work on Shabbos and you have to keep the Shabbos? No. Right? It says over here to honor your parents. Any of you have parents? No. It says you shouldn't murder. Can you murder an angel? No. It says you shouldn't steal. You have anything to steal over here? No. And so on. So the Torah doesn't apply to angels, and therefore it was given to human beings. Now, it seems that seems pretty simple. I could have given that answer too. Right? And what did the angels think to begin with? They wanted the Torah. It doesn't apply to them. Now, the Shirei Das says that the Torah can be understood on many levels. And the Torah can be understood on a totally spiritual level. All the things can be understood totally spiritually. And they could apply to angels too. What Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them, the Torah isn't complete if it's only understood on a spiritual level. Unless it comes into this physical world and combines the physical and the spiritual together, this world and the next world together, godliness and humanity together, then it's not really the Torah that's the blueprint for all creation. It has to represent all facets of creation. Only human beings have that dichotomy, have that physical and spiritual side to them. Angels are totally spiritual. Animals are totally physical. It wasn't given to the animals. It wasn't given to the angels. It's only given to human beings because the totality, the perfection of Torah is only when it combines the physical and the spiritual. So that is what the Aseres HaDibros were. And therefore, in a very specific way, the first five utterances, the first five Dibros, and the second five Dibros, one-to-one, supplement and complement each other. This one is the spiritual side, this one's the physical side, and only when you have both sides are they complete. So the ten, which we'll see represents the unity of everything, correspond each one, physical, spiritual. They have to complement and supplement each other, which we'll explain in a second. But if you think about it, the first five, since they deal with the spiritual world, start with thought, which is more spiritual, and then gravitate towards action, which is more physical. Meaning, even in keeping the spiritual laws, one has to do them in a physical way too, not only in a spiritual way. And the opposite is true with the last five. They start with action and end with thought. Let's see. The first five start with belief in God, not serving other gods. That's thought. Then they descend to speech, not taking God's name in vain, not swearing falsely. That's speech. And then keeping the Shabbos, which has in it thought, speech, right? Remembering the Shabbos is thought. Making Kiddush, speech. And not doing the works that you're not supposed to do is the absence, at least, of actions, right? That transgressing will be with action. And then comes real action, Kabedus Avichas Imecha, honoring your parents, feeding them, clothing them, being involved with the physical representatives of God in this world, your parents, who are the other partners in creation. So it goes from thought to speech to action, and then to action to physical beings in this world who represent God. Because they represent God to you, because they are your anchor to the past, to Masorah, to tradition, and they're God's partners in creation. So it goes from the more sublime thought, speech, action. The last five is just the opposite. It starts with action, murder. Can't get a bigger, more physical action than that. And then infidelity, adultery, right, is also an action, but it's more an action that causes a spiritual harm, not a physical harm, and even though it's a physical harm too, but not the same kind of physical harm as murder. And then there's not stealing, which is also physical, but to property. And then giving false witness, a speech. And finally, not coveting thought. So just like the first five are spiritual, but they gravitate from thought to action, the last five are physical, they gravitate from action to thought. All complete unity. Okay, now let's see how it works that each of the five correspond to the second five one by one and supplement and complement the idea. First is belief in God. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Right? Belief in God is completed by not murdering human beings. A human being is God's image in this world. The physical image of God in this world is human beings. Right? And we have to believe in God, but our spiritual belief in God is not complete unless we act towards the physical representation of godliness in this world, which is a human being, right, in the proper way. So you increase God's image in the world by believing in Him, and you also increase God's image in the world by not murdering human beings. In addition, the whole idea of believing that God is the source of everything, and that He is the one who is involved. Everything that happens, happens because of God. That means that the foundation of this world is spiritual. Murder is becoming a very physical person, right? Murder is giving in to your anger, what's it called, and becoming a totally physical, it's a physical sin. Right, where you murder somebody physically, and it's because you become totally angry, lost yourself, and function just in a very physical way. So, if the whole world is the basis of spiritualism, how do you become such a physical person and let a physical human being get you so riled up that you have to kill him? That means that his physical entity is so disturbing to you that you can't leave him in the world. But if you really believe in God, and the focus of everything is spiritual, then how could you let a physical human being get to you so much that you're willing to destroy him? So, on the one hand, the belief in God, on the one hand, in the first tablet, is complemented and supplemented with not murdering in the second tablet. Second thing, not to have a strange God. Okay, you believe in God, but be faithful to Him. Don't only have faith in God, be faithful to God. Don't stray after other things that you think will give you benefit, right? And there, in the physical world, right, the relationship between God and man is, there is a connection between the relationship between husband and wife. Shir HaShirim, right? Our relationship to God is represented by the relationship between a husband and wife. And just like in the spiritual world, we have to be faithful to God, so too a wife has and a husband have to be faithful to each other. Right? That's the prohibition of adultery. And that's why we find by Avodah Zarah, by idolatry, and by a woman who is suspected of adultery, the idea of kina. That God is jealous. He's jealous if somebody serves idolatry, and a husband is jealous if his wife is suspected of adultery. Because the jealousness means, this is mine. There's supposed to be a certain faithfulness. And the absence of faithfulness creates jealousy. It's something that should be faithful to me is breaking that faith. That's similar on a spiritual side, it's idolatry, and on the physical side, it's adultery. Then comes losisa, don't take God's name in vain, and don't steal. What's the connection? Taking God's name in vain means I associate God with something that is false, or not needed. What's it called? Shav. Shav means in vain. I associate God with something false or vain in order to bolster my position. I swear falsely, right? I'm associating God. The first thing is believe in God. Then be faithful to Him. And don't associate Him with things that are false or vain. Okay? Now, the same thing goes with losignov. What is losignov? It's talking really about kidnapping. It means I take another human being and I use him in a distorted and false way by stealing him and selling him, right, which is what kidnapping is, right? I take another human being and use him for my purposes in a vain and false way. It's exactly using God, right, who's the image of God, the spiritual image of God, which is God, using his name for my purposes, for a vain and false thing. Same exact thing. Here I'm using, just like killing a human being is killing the image of God, and believing in God is asserting the image of God in the world, so too stealing a human being and taking God's name in vain are basically the same thing. One's in the spiritual realm, one's in the physical realm. Or I use somebody else's property, if it includes even not kidnapping, but regular stealing, right, which is not the main thing, but it's a subordinate to that. I'm taking somebody else's property and strengthening myself in a way that it makes it look like it's mine, which is false. So I'm taking another human being's property and using it in a false, distorted way to give me, to strengthen me, to extend me. So same thing as taking God and his name, God's name, and using it in a false way to strengthen myself, to bolster myself. And then comes the mitzvah of remembering the Shabbos, where I have to testify through my actions, through not working, through making kiddush, that all of this is true. Okay? Belief in God, being faithful to God, utilizing God for and associating him with falsehood or with things that are vain, and finally testifying to the fact that all of this is true through your speech, action, and thought. That's Shabbos. So if that's the case, on the other side is not testifying against a human being falsely. In other words, to make sure that your relationship with other people testifies to the truth, not to lies. Don't testify falsely against someone, because you have a mitzvah on the spiritual side to testify to the existence of God, to your faithfulness to God, to what God is all about. And here on the physical side, you have a mitzvah not to testify falsely against a human being, just like you have a mitzvah not to testify falsely against God by not keeping Shabbos. And lastly, the idea of lo sachmod and kibud avoein. We have the mitzvah of honoring a parent. The mitzvah of honoring a parent basically is, it's connected to belief in God, because if I believe in God, then I have to honor his partners in creation who are parents. And my belief in God depends on my knowing my place in the chain of tradition, that I didn't come here and create everything. I follow people who came before me who can tell me, right, about God and about creation, because it goes all the way back to the first human beings. So our belief in God is dependent on tradition, Mesorah, right, an unbroken chain of tradition, and also the fact that there are physical representatives of God in this world who are my parents, who were partners with God in bringing me into this world. right? They brought me in physically, and God created my neshama spiritually. So therefore, honoring a parent is basically on the side of belief in God, because it bolsters my belief in tradition and my knowledge that there are partners who brought me into this world. Now, bottom line of honoring a parent is knowing your place, knowing where you come from, knowing who you are and what you are, right? Your place in history, your place in a family, and in that way, you know your place vis-a-vis God too. And therefore, what's Lo Sachmod? Lo Sachmod is not to covet what somebody else has, to know your place. This is your place in the world. This is what God gave you. Don't try to be somebody else. So if you honor your parents, it teaches you to know your place vis-a-vis God. When you don't covet, you know your place vis-a-vis other people. Who you are, who they are, their part is their part, your part is your part. Don't try to be something you're not. So Vamish supplements and complements from a physical side what the mitzvah of honoring a parent is on the spiritual side. In any case, bottom line to all of this is that the world was created with 10 utterances, and the Torah was given with 10 utterances. There's a difference between them. The world was created with asara ma'amaros. Asara is 10 individual things. There's little unity in the physical world. Each physical thing is a separate thing to itself. What gives unity to the physical world? The spiritual, the Torah. That's why there's aseres hadibros. The word asara is 10 individual things. The word aseres is a unit of tens. That's why when it says aseres b'nei Haman, we learn that they were all hung at the same time, because there was something that unified them into one group of 10. Therefore, the aseres hadibros, says the Shem Yishmuel, unifies the asara mamaros. The asara mamaros by themselves, the physical world by itself, would be separate. What gives it unity? Right? The aseres hadibros, the Torah. The Torah unifies the physical world. So it comes out that the purpose of the Torah is to unify the spiritual and the physical together. You can't have one without the other, in this world at least. And therefore, we are supposed to be a mamleches kohanim, the goy kadosh. We're supposed to be kohanim. A kohen is one who serves God. A kohen is a servant. Servant of God. Ministers to God. That is a relationship that's totally spiritual. On the other hand, we have to be a goy kadosh, a holy nation. A nation meaning, says, goyeho aratzos, the nations of the earth. Right, a goy is our physical life. We have to be put kedusha, holiness, into the physical world. We have to minister to God and be spiritual beings as kohanim, but we also have to bring it into the physical world and be a goy kadosh, that every physical thing that we do as a goy, as a nation, is also sanctified. You can't have just a spiritual life or just a physical life. They have to go together. That's the two tablets going together. And that is illustrated by the following. Somebody once asked the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Chaim Mordechai Katz, he said, "Rabbi, I don't understand these religious Jews who lie and cheat and steal and deal dishonestly in business." And Rabbi Katz answered him the following way. He said, "You know, I have the same problem. I don't understand these religious Jews who eat on Yom Kippur, eat pig, and desecrate the Shabbos." So the guy said, "Wait a second, Rabbi, those aren't religious Jews." He said, "Neither were the first ones. Why do you consider somebody religious who lies, cheats, and steals and can't function in the physical world between man and man properly just because he's religious in a spiritual sense? Then the other way should be the same way, right? You can be religious and eat on Yom Kippur, Bechal Shabbos, eat pig, right, as long as you're honest or whatever. Just like these aren't religious either. Religiosity is not spiritual or physical alone. It's both. The Torah has both of these tablets, and they're only complete when they're both together. So unless you have the spiritual side and bring it into the physical world, right, and bring the godliness into the mundane temporal world, unless you have both heaven and earth, then you don't have the Torah. You can't have the Torah just as a malach, and surely you can't have a Torah as an animal. You have to be a human being who combines the spiritual with the physical. That's what Torah is. That's the Aseres HaDibros, five, more or less focusing on the spiritual, man's relationship to God, and five relationship focusing on man's relationship to man and functioning in a godly way towards human beings. Right? One is our focus down, this world, earth. One is our focus up towards what's it called, towards God, towards heaven, towards the world to come. Here's this world. It all blends together. That's what the two tablets of the Aseres HaDibros represent, and it's one toward the other, right? One by one, supplement and complement each other. Any questions? Yes.
I was wondering if you could go into the remember the Shabbos and not testifying falsely.
Right, because Shabbos is a testimony to all the things that we believe. By not working on Shabbos, by making Kiddush, we testify that God created the world. He is the creator, right? He is the one who is involved in the world, whatever. So, not keeping the Shabbos would be testifying falsely. Right. That's on a spiritual level. The same thing a person has to, on the physical level, not testify falsely against another human being. And uphold all the things that, what's it called, the way that a person is supposed to deal with other human beings, not murder them and not defile them. And not bear false, and not, what's it called, steal from them. And the way to do that is by bearing testimony that my friend is, what's it called, what he is. Not to distort that and testify falsely against him.
So there's
a connection between them.
Is that why, like, keeping Shabbos is, like, a prerequisite for someone being allowed, like, in halacha, like, for someone being allowed to, like, cook and things like that, like,
yeah, because it says that a person who desecrates a Shabbos is considered basically as if he's testifying to the fact he doesn't believe in God. It's tantamount to idolatry. Because since the Shabbos is a testimony, if you don't keep the Shabbos, you're testifying that basically you don't believe in all this. That's why people who don't know what Shabbos is are not testifying anything. Right? They just don't know what it is. It's only a person who really knows what it is and ignores it is giving that false testimony. Yes.
This world is between us and
right. This world are more the mitzvahs between man and man. Even though you have to keep mitzvahs between man and God, but that's more otherworldly. That's more the spiritual side of this world. The physical side of this world is man and man. Yeah, it's both, but the man and God side of this world is more spiritual, more related to the heavens, more related to the world to come, where there isn't any physical world, and the more physical side of this world is the man and man side. Okay, have a good Shabbos. Hope I gave you something to think about.